technique.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar.
I told everybody to relax. I'm back. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years or hours or minutes or whatever, but B-Mac's trying to rush me. I'm back. I'm a professional. I got this.
When the legal ID started, I couldn't see you. That's all I'm saying.
I'm an elusive target, B-Mac. I can move.
What are you, Barry Sanders now?
I'm not going that way, but I mean, at least I have the ability to avoid being tackled or shut down and rushed way too soon.
I love that you're equating running back from the bathroom with that.
Yeah, I'd have to run. Well, I mean, I only ran because you rushed me, and I was
the legal ID.
I had plenty of time.
Oh, okay. Look, I didn't say you had to sprint. I just wanted to make sure you weren't off or somewhere it was going to take another few minutes. Is all.
Two.
You never know what's going on.
One to go. It should be a very spirited final hour of the show, based on how we're starting it. B-Mac and myself. Wakefield Crowbar, it's your place to be all weekend long for all the madness of March. They've got a 24-foot TV wall in the back, over 40 TVs all over, unbelievable food, the friendliest bartenders, great drink specials, and oh my goodness, indoor-outdoor activities aplenty. You guys should be here. We're here now till 6. You can be here all weekend. You can check it out. It's in the Heights. We come here frequently. It's a phenomenal place. We love it. You should, too. Stop by. Say hi. B-Mac's being salty, so you can say hi to him if you want. But you can say
hi.
I saw
him on the screen. They have trivia nights on Wednesday. You a big trivia guy?
I do like trivia.
You do like trivia. What would be – have you seen – there's a show that aired recently on Fox called The Floor.
Did I saw The Floor with Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
He's not doing Atkins commercials and all kinds of –
telling us about all the Atkins bars he eats to stay healthy. If you had to go on the floor, what would be your trivia? What would be your main trivia topic that you would defend as your specialty?
If you How specific do you have to be? Obviously, sports would
be the number one.
Got
pretty specific. I mean, I don't think you could say Houston Rockets, but you could go,
say NBA.
Yeah, you could say NBA.
NBA or basketball.
NBA would be your number one,
probably.
That doesn't surprise me.
Where are you going?
You might make fun of me for this, that's okay. I'll take those.
Star Wars?
No, come on, no.
Wrestling.
There you go. Yeah, you got it. Professional wrestling.
See, I know you better than you think. I mean, okay, so if we take sports out of it, which way would you go? I would go entertainment.
I think I would go 90s music.
I could do that,
Like 90s grunge?
Jeremy, I think
I could do 90s grunge, like punk rock, things like that.
Yeah, Jeremy hates giving – he hates getting credit. And he doesn't give it much, but he does respect the fact that I have a wealth of knowledge on music.
Okay. So originally you said entertainment. You mean specifically?
I could do
music?
Entertainment. I could do music. Movies. I used to do a ton of, and I don't. Being married with kids now, I don't.
Lisa's not a movie fan.
I don't do movies as much.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean she's not a movie?
She's
fan?
She's not. It's crazy because
she just doesn't like movies.
When I was single, and I don't think she likes wasting the 2.5 to 3 hours on a movie.
It's like an attention span thing,
right? Well, with the kids and all the responsibilities we have, and even if we had a sitter, she would not pick that as option A. She'd actually go to sporting events. She likes to go to sporting events.
Okay.
But I used to go to almost every concert that was in and around the Houston area that I wanted to see, and every movie. And when I got married, all that ended.
All that ended, wives have a way of doing that. Well, spouses.
They do.
That sounded kind of sexist. But, yeah, kids and spouses have a way of ending that.
Now coaching consumes me when I'm not doing other things with the kids and the family. So.
Oh, you got softball stuff to get to, right?
All right. So, yeah, let's get some of the feedback from some of the peeps here. Keith from L.A., who I'm starting to tolerate more since he has been less insufferable with his L.A. teams.
I wonder if he got up at 5 a.m. to watch the Dodgers today.
That's a good question. Key, you can respond.
I'd be at 3 a.m. in L.A.
He did say, though, how many shots have I had today, which we know is zero.
You've had 2 shots of Diet Coke.
Yes, and Texans can be the 4th best team in the AFC. Okay.
That's fair.
I think that's an honest answer.
I mean, I had them at 3, but certainly I would not call anyone an idiot for saying they're 4th, because I think you could certainly put Chiefs, Ravens, Bengals in front of them.
Wheatstraw said we don't know what the Bengals are going to be at running back, to your point about
that's
putting the
fair.
Bengals
through. Yeah, there's obviously a lot of hope they put I'm blanking on the name, no pun intended, of the guy they got let go of Mixon to give more starts.
He was a rookie last year, right?
Yeah, I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden. I shouldn't do that.
How's your computer treating you?
My phone?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. That would be the prep work instead of worrying about me coming out of the bathroom. That would be the prep work.
I could certainly look it up on my phone. It's not going to take that long. But, yeah, I mean, it might be a position that they look to address in the draft. But, I mean, I don't know. As long as you got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and I mean, as long as T. Higgins possibly still there, I don't know if it matters a whole lot who their running back is. And that running back would be Chase Brown, though. See, I found it.
There you go. Other people commenting on what we've said. Someone pro-you against me. Schedule's overrated. Schedule isn't that difficult. Look at it again. And again, there's a lot of things still to figure out, yeah, in terms of what the rosters are going to look like for these teams. The schedule's way more difficult than it was a year ago on paper.
And that's my argument. Yeah. My argument is that it's on paper. We don't know how these things are going
to Someone on my side followed that up by saying, yes, they lost some games that were supposed to be quote-unquote easy last year. Indeed, they did. I'm missing one. But I know that they lost the Carolina game and the Atlanta game.
Panthers, Atlanta. What was the other one? You're right. I can find that here in a second. Yeah,
they beat Tampa, right?
Yeah, they beat Tampa. That was the game where CJ had like 470 passing yards.
The Jets was a stinker.
But
we thought Rodgers was going to play, because
before the season started, you would have marked that as probably an automatic L going on the road to face Rodgers, and then going into that game with not Aaron Rodgers, you would have said it would have been easier, but then the weather played a huge factor, and the Texans were just awful that day.
Okay, someone else saying... Texans are legit at receiver. Draft running back or offensive line? Now, I think they're going to draft running back in the fourth or fifth round, but I see their two top priorities in the draft being interior defensive line, corner is where I'd start, and then look at safety and receiver and then go from there.
Yeah, I guess my question for the Texans would be, like, how early do you want to take running back? Because I wouldn't take it in the second round.
Keith from L.A. said he got up early and watched the whole game and still made it to work. Well, golf clap for you, Keith.
Well, I would hope
you actually
still
are working
work.
A full day
the
today.
The game started at 5 a.m.
Yeah, way to
you
go.
You better still make it
Not.
To work.
And someone else said, it's any given Sunday. You never know who's going to be good when. That's the thing that we just got done talking about with the schedule. When we looked at it on paper at the start of last season, the one thing we didn't know was what we talked about with the Bengals, although Burrow played, but they were never he was never the guy all year because of injuries. Rodgers never played, with the exception of, what, two downs for the Jets. So you didn't know that was coming. But at the same time, you know, you don't know what your own division's going to be year to year. You didn't know that Steichen was going to be really great from the jump. Richardson was going to get him off to a great start. And that Gardner Minshew was going to be able to pick up the pieces and carry them all season long to a game that mattered in the last week of the regular season. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Yeah, and that kind of speaks to my overall point. It's like there's going to be teams that we think are cakewalks that obviously pop up and give you a tougher game or even beat you. That you weren't expecting, but there's going to be teams. I mean, we talked about the first place schedule. You have the Chiefs on the schedule, the Ravens, the Cowboys. I believe the Bills are on the roster or the schedule as well.
Don't you believe, Brian? Because now you're getting all boisterous, I'll go right to it.
Yeah, let's go. Just how much more difficult it's going to be. You want to do the cliche August routine of going game by game and picking the
schedule? No, I don't think the listener should be subjected to that.
Come on, but that's the August cliche for sports.
But
radio.
We're talking about teams.
I'm sorry. That's actually the April cliche as soon as the schedule comes out.
Falcons. Panthers games that were supposed to be either be cupcakes turned out to be cupcakes, right?
Right.
But if you're looking at just from the standpoint of opponents and who you want, who you think you're playing, you won't have cupcakes like that this year because you won the division.
Right. I mean, again, but
you're going to play the Lions. You're going to play the Chiefs. You're going to play the Ravens instead of playing the cupcakes that you played a year ago.
Yeah, but that again, though, is assuming, and that is there again on paper, because like you said, I mean, there's people wouldn't have expected the Texans to beat the Bengals last year. They wouldn't have expected them in that first game on the road at Jacksonville, their first time going there. They wouldn't have expected them to beat them. Okay, so I do have the opponents up here.
Yeah, because mine's their Texans website is not bringing that up for me. So way to go, Texans.com.
All right, so I'll go over the quote unquote tough opponents. Okay, and look, there's obviously quite a few of them. And we can debate how tough they are or not. But
unless you're BMAC, who's going to just brush his shoulders off like they're not going to be.
I will brush my shoulders off.
We'll see.
I'm battle red, baby. Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo. These are home opponents. Mm-hmm. Home opponents currently. And then I'll go over the road opponents next, and just over the tough ones. I won't mention the quote unquote cupcakes. But you have at home you have the Ravens, the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Lions. And I guess you'd have to throw it in the Colts and Jaguars, possibly tough games. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of challenging opponents there on the home schedule. Road schedule, you have the Cowboys, the Packers, the Chiefs. Would we consider Jets tough?
Yeah, with Rodgers.
Okay, all right, so Jets.
And they're loading up for him.
Jets, then Colts, Jaguars again. So there's, I mean, look, it's a lot of
You're starting to change your tune, aren't you?
No, because, I mean, again, there's still some cupcakes there with the Bears, with the Vikings.
You got both Detroit and Green Bay there.
But we don't know what
you have the Ravens. You have the Chiefs.
Okay.
You have the Cowboys.
Of all people I could be having this conversation with, you can't tell me that Jordan Love is unbeatable because I know you don't believe
much. But they're also building up the rest of their team.
Sure.
They spent on their biggest deficiencies like safety. They think they upgraded running back, which I question. They've got a ton of receivers and tight ends. They're easily going to be able to.
They're a talented team. I'm not arguing that. But year to year, I mean, Jared Goff has not been a super consistent quarterback. I don't think he's as bad as people make him out to be, but he's certainly not a super consistent quarterback. So I will never take the Lions as a team that is as a team that can't be beat. We're all surprised by how thoroughly they got trounced in their Thanksgiving game. Things happen. Same thing with the Packers. I was impressed with how Jordan Love played this year, especially second half of the season. But that doesn't mean they're an absolute lock, especially going up against a D'Amico Ryan's defense with as much talent as they have with their pass rushers.
See, if someone says the tougher schedule is essential to grow into what they want to be, the long-term benefit. Yeah, but we're talking about the short-term realistic approach, though. We're talking about what happens next season. You're right that playing these teams will only make them stronger going forward. But where are they right now? What have they done to be better than they were a year ago, and how does that translate to what it means and where they seed in the AFC currently with the reigning Super Bowl champs? When you talk about this list and the fact that of the top seven, the five of the seven are AFC teams, which means it's a gauntlet no matter who you play.
Yeah, I think sometimes we get caught up in the names and maybe don't. I don't know if this is a – it seems like it's kind of a Houston thing. Where we always look at our team's schedules as a worst case scenario, and looking at what other teams have, and always being kind of like envious of, oh, if we can only get to the level. I think we got to flip that mindset now with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is the level of quarterback that when other teams look and see the Texans on the schedule, they're going to say, "Oh crap, we have the Texans on the schedule."
Probably
because
right.
of C.J. Stroud. And look, it's a tough schedule. There's no getting around it. On paper, it is a very tough schedule. But we've talked in the past about how much Josh Allen turns the ball over for the Buffalo Bills. That's not an unbeatable team. Tua is not an unbeatable quarterback. Jared Goff is not an unbeatable quarterback. There are teams on here that we look at as being really tough that are going to take a step back. So while it's a tougher schedule on paper, I do think the conversation of quote-unquote first-place schedule is a little overrated.
But look, okay, so the ultimate to what you're talking about, the ultimate blue or red Kool-Aid drinking fan texts in and says they took the Chiefs to overtime with Davis Mills a couple of years back. Just saying, I was in the end zone happy to have Mahomes headed my direction in the first quarter because I expected him to be on the bench by halftime, but Mills held it down till overtime. If this is how you're basing your fundamental approach to beating the Chiefs next year, it's flawed.
Yeah, I would not base my opinion on what Davis Mills did.
To what you're saying, though, the follow-up would be 88-15, who says, don't be scared all your life. We got a good team. We can beat them all. Now, that's the approach, obviously, they're going to have. But when you look at it on paper, you have to be realistic about how loaded the AFC is and how many good teams there are.
Yeah, and I do agree with you on that aspect. The AFC, to me, is much tougher than the NFC right now. It's at least deeper. There's obviously some elite teams at the top of the NFC, but I think the AFC is deeper with good teams. I just think that we have been stuck. Look, this is a franchise that's never gotten to an AFC title game. This is a franchise that's had very short windows with what we could consider a franchise-level quarterback. Pretty much we had, a year and a half or so of Deshaun Watson before he ended up being a pervert and getting himself shipped out of town. We're now in that window.
Shipped, right?
Yeah, I said shipped. We're now in that window with C.J. Stroud. When the fans of the Bills, when the fans of the Lions, when the fans of basically every team except for the Chiefs and the Ravens look at their schedule and see the Houston Texans on it, and specifically see C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, oh, crap, they're coming to town, or we have
well,
to go to
Well, and this
them.
Final text sums that up for okay. you, because it says, looking ahead to next year's schedule does nothing, because there were 10 teams last year that penciled in a W against the Texans.
Absolutely.
And that is the fact of all facts. So it's going to be – but the bottom line is we're talking about this because we have positive thoughts in believing this team is on the right path and headed in the right direction. That's not where we were a year ago.
No, no. It's a drastic change from last year, for
sure. So that's something that at least we can be extremely positive about. All right, let us know your thoughts. We'll continue to read them as we go. But plenty more to get to here from Wakefield Crowbar, 713-780-3776. Text, call. We got Twitch. We got YouTube. We got all the different ways you can reach us. But, Brian, where do you want to go at 5:30? We've been all around spanning the globe. Where would you like to take us? I'm going to leave it up to you, producer extraordinaire and now on-air talent. Which way would you like to go at 5:30?
Why don't we get into NFL overreactions?
There you go. NFL overreactions following up what we just covered on the Texans. And where do you guys stand on all that? We'll be back with the final half hour of the program, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar.
Hey, it's B-Mac and Blank, the Bees. Jeremy covering the Cougs will be back with us tomorrow via remote as he gets to Memphis and puts a couple of feet on Beal. Getting ready for Cougs basketball this weekend.
Where does Memphis, obviously you've been to a lot of these NBA towns. Where did Memphis rank for you as far as towns to visit on the road?
Not great.
Not great?
Not great.
Didn't like the scene on Bill Street?
No, and I think the barbecue's kind of overrated.
Oh, okay. Blues, I've never been to Memphis.
The Blues. And then in and around Beal, don't turn the corner and
I've heard that.
Go the wrong way.
Or I've heard it's a very small area you want to be in, and yeah. you get into an ugly situation pretty quick. It would seem like the music scene would be pretty good, but Memphis barbecue overrated?
Yeah, it's overrated. Obviously, right. You get spoiled when you're here.
So Texas barbecue, I don't know about you, but Texas barbecue number one for me. What would be your number two? You have a second
it's better. I think Memphis
I'd probably
is...
go Kansas City.
It's going to be between Memphis and Kansas City. I just don't know which of the two is better because I think a lot of them rely heavily on sauce.
Yeah, certainly like Alabama does.
Yeah, and I just feel like I've been spoiled with so much good barbecue here that if that's the way to do it.
Yeah, like, and I've never been a big fan of the North Carolina style with kind of like the vinegar and stuff.
Right, yeah, no.
I don't know. Yeah, I would choose Texas barbecue first basically every single time, but Kansas City's not bad either.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, cities.
Yeah, what was your favorite team to, or city to travel to on the road?
I love Portland. Obviously, I used to live there. I think it's the most underrated, beautiful city in the country, and there's so much to do. And if I didn't go Portland, I mean, I used to love going to Seattle, too. Portland, Seattle was fantastic because we stayed right there on the water, Puget Sound and all that. Those were great. And I loved L.A. because it was always cool to kind of people watch L.A., like, even for practices, we'd go through Beverly Hills. We'd go through, you know, we'd stay right by Rodeo Drive. So you could see how the rich people live.
Sure.
And you turn the corner the wrong way or, you know, bump into somebody. You go, oh, that was so-and-so. And then obviously at the games themselves, that was always fun. But my least favorite cities were Philadelphia, Armpit.
Yeah, I could see that, sure.
And again, another one where a guy was shot right outside our hotel.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Philly, not a big fan. Once you see all the kind of the history and, you know, Freedom Hall and the Liberty Bell and all that and the Rocky statue.
So basically the first road trip was cool. Everything out after that was like,
man,
okay, I don't want to come
You talk about,
anymore.
Like, homeless people hounding you and following you
now
on
you
every corner.
Now you sound like Charles Barkley.
No, I'm just telling you. And it's another city where if you turn the wrong way at night and go
Charles
down the wrong
street.
Charles
says it about San Francisco, right?
Yeah, he said about San Francisco.
The homeless issue.
And I love, look, when we played the Warriors in the playoffs especially, man, I mean, everything's walking. We went to the baseball games on off nights. The water's beautiful. Everything with their sporting, not Oakland, but San Francisco is unreal. But, you know, obviously living there would cost an arm, leg, and other
probably other
parts of your body.
Well, yeah,
yeah. I was never a fan of Philly and Detroit.
Yeah, if you'd got me to guess, Philly and Detroit would have been three or
Charlotte
four.
I'm not big on.
Really? What was wrong with Charlotte?
Charlotte's nothing to do.
Oh, nothing to
Charlotte
do.
And Sacramento, and now I haven't been to the new arena in Sac, but Sac's arena was way out in the middle of nowhere, but we stayed next to the across street from the Capitol in quote-unquote downtown Sacramento, and I used to say it was like the Thriller video after 9 p.m. All you saw was like Night of the Living Dead, like zombies walk out at night. Otherwise, no one's out there. There's nothing to do. Everything shuts down. Charlotte's the same way. It's so flipping boring That just was nothing to do.
I don't know, man. I'm walking down the street. People start breaking out in the Thriller dance. That seems like a pretty exciting city.
Seriously, there was like this three-block-sized indoor-outdoor mall. And just the walk from the hotel to the mall, that you thought that the red and black leather jacket was coming out with a it was tough.
All right, so you want to get into some of these NFL overreactions before we got to get out?
Give them and go. Let's go.
All right, so the first one I'll skip because we basically did the entire last segment on it. It has to do with the Texans, so I'll go ahead and skip past that one. First one, is this an overreaction or a proper reaction? Derrick Henry will put the Ravens over the top and into the Super Bowl.
It's an overreaction because playoff Ravens is way different than regular season Ravens. There's no doubt in my mind Ravens will be
You could argue running back was the missing piece this last year.
You could also argue they had the best offensive line, and no matter who ran the football, was really good. So Derrick Henry, no matter what he's got left, isn't going to be a difference maker when Lamar Jackson has to make it work in the playoffs, and he's different than he is in the regular season. So to me it's an overreaction because it's not about Derrick Henry. It's about Lamar Jackson.
All right, next one. Kirk Cousins signing for Atlanta makes the Falcons a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Oh, it's an overreaction. They because of the division, it makes them a playoff team in my mind.
You think they surpassed the Buccaneers?
Yeah, they got so many weapons.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Bijan.
Yeah, and they're going to strengthen their offensive line for him, and their defense isn't bad. I think Atlanta becomes a playoff team. That's you could consider a Super Bowl contender. As bad as the NFC can be, no.
Yeah, I would even say it might be a slight overreaction for the division, just because you don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to come back like, you know, off of the Achilles injury at his age. So certainly we'll find out for two quarterbacks this season with both Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. All right, last one before we go ahead and get out. The Bears misread the market for Justin Fields.
Well,
they waited a long time to make the move. The point that the article was making is that, you know, guys like Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell all traded before Justin Fields, and maybe by waiting, thinking you're going to wait out for this big deal. Well, yeah, exactly, because you kind of waited till the market only had like one or two teams left, and instead of a bidding war, you got left out.
But you don't know if they ever had an offer that was better, right? I think that when you look at it, one angle you could say is they misread it, and on the other angle you could say that they played it right all along, just waiting it out because they were hoping that it would get better, and if it didn't, they could still get what everybody else got and still get the guy they want in Caleb Williams. I'm surprised they didn't get more for him. Unlike Jeremy, I think there's still something more in the tank for Justin Fields to where I think he can start in the NFL.
Who do you think starts more games for him this year, Russ or Justin Fields?
I think Russ will this year, but I think going forward, Justin Fields will make himself, he will be in the mix to be the long-term quarterback of the Steelers starting next season.
All right, one more for you. I lied. We're going to do one more. Okay. The Broncos will have the number one pick going into next year's draft.
I mean, who's worse? I mean, when you think about it, who's worse with the way that they have had?
might be the Panthers.
So it's between an AFC and an NFC team. The Panthers are trying to get better. I think Sean Payton would like to just completely press the restart and get as many picks as he can back as high as possible. You know, you let Simmons go. You got rid of Russ.
Right,
it's a massive
trade away
cap hit.
Jerry Judy.
Yeah, you're trading Judy. You're kind of unloading the old regime. I think it's between those two teams. So I will say it's a fair reaction. The Broncos will have the number one pick in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of other teams that would compete with them for the number one pick. I mean, like you said, the Panthers could be one team. I mean, if Bryce Young doesn't take a step forward, they could certainly be one team that is there with them.
It's those two teams. I don't think that
I don't see a lot of other teams that would really even be in the running.
Bears are obviously going to be improved.
Maybe the Patriots. The Patriots, and we'll see.
Possible.
They signed Jacoby Brissett as a free agent. He's not bad. I would say he's slightly below average. If he's your starter, yeah, that obviously depends on what they do with the third overall pick. But outside of the Panthers and the Patriots, I don't see a whole lot of other teams that are really going to challenge for that number one spot.
I don't either. I think those are the two worst teams in football.
Three-team race. Depending on
Raiders?
Okay, good point. Yeah, Raiders with
lost Jacobs, don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, Aiden O'Connell is possibly their quarterback, or Gardner Minshew.
Minshew, right.
That would be their other option at quarterback. Also dependent of what they do in the draft, they would be hypothetically in a spot to draft J.J. McCarthy. I don't think they're going to do that, and I don't think that would actually fix them because I think J.J. McCarthy is an overrated prospect. But that is obviously dependent upon what they do at quarterback as well.
Yeah,
but
no
I would
doubt.
Still, if, like, if they start Gardner Minshew, I think they would be a better team with what they have around them.
They're a 500 team with Gardner Minshew.
Right, exactly. I think they would be a better team than the Panthers, the Broncos,
and the Patriots.
And the Patriots, yeah.
I agree with that. All right, final half hour of the show. I lied before, now I'm telling you the truth. 30 minutes to go in the show.
B-Mac
says
he
has trouble speaking. Good time to do some radio, especially with me. Thanks, B-Mac. Maybe that'll be car wreck of the day. We've got car wreck of the day coming up in the final segment, so get your nominations in now, 713-780-3776, or hit us up and tweet us. And we'll take those as well. But we got the final 30 minutes next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar.
Back for the final, or to continue the final half hour of the Killer Bees with
second?
Two out of three. No, I did not, Mr. I Can't Speak and I Do Radio.
I'm speaking right now.
Yeah, you spoke to me when I was coming out of the bathroom telling me I had to rush and I didn't.
Hey, my bad. Trying to get you here on time.
So we were talking about a lot of things. A lot of people had a lot to say. A lot of people are, interestingly, and this is off of Twitch, which is surprising to me, critical of me being a barbecue judge because I put ketchup on everything. I don't put ketchup on barbecue, especially good barbecue, but I don't put ketchup on barbecue. Shows you how little you know about me, but keep trying, I guess. I mean, what are we doing
here? So you draw the line there at barbecue then.
Jeremy tweeted at me today.
You didn't once put ketchup on a barbecued baked potato. Maybe
that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a barbecued baked potato. It was a loaded baked potato.
Okay, loaded baked potato.
Yeah, and I loaded it with onions, mushrooms, ketchup.
So
it was
no
phenomenal.
There was no barbecue on it.
No, it was phenomenal.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll stand corrected on that.
All right, so there's that because I love getting.
Some people also defending Philly I saw on the text message.
Yeah, then someone says, so for Blankers hates Philly so much, then why do all the players seem like they like it? You know why? Because they have bags and bags of money that say that, like Bryce Harper, well, I love this city and I love everything about it. Of course you do, because you have all the money in the world
and you can live where it's awesome.
Yeah, and you
and
don't
not where
go
it sucks.
Jeez. And then someone
you
else
can afford to buy a house in the good neighborhood.
Exactly. And then someone else crapping on Portland and talking about Portland's now nothing but homeless people and other things. Okay, look, Portland is, you can see Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens. You're at less than an hour from everything, from the beach to the mountains to, it's a very clean downtown area. Look, I haven't been back there in a couple of years, but also, Portland is the home of, and I know Twitch will love this, Portland's the home of Nike, and every time you made a trip with the team, you got a free pass into the employee store and went out on the Nike campus, which is phenomenal.
I can see why you love it so
much.
Yeah,
so that's why when everybody goes, oh, Joel should have a sponsor. I had next best thing. I had a pass to the employee store. I still have that stuff.
Wait,
I love
so
it.
You could walk in and just pick out stuff?
Bro, let me just tell you. From what I've heard now from guys in the league, it's changing a little bit now. But they own Cole Haan. They had – the employee store was over like the size of a football field.
Jeez.
And it's like Fort Knox to get in. You got to have a pass, an ID, and all this stuff. Once you get in, especially with the team, I would say your return on every dollar is probably 10 to 1.
You're paying 10% of what it would cost the average person to buy the same gear?
It's less than 50% of what you see retail.
It
is, and with like sales racks or what they're trying to get rid of, which is all brand new, top of the, you know, premier stuff. You can get T-shirts for like $2-3.
I can see why Portland was one of your favorite
cities. Oh, my God,
it's
amazing.
You walk in, you can get a whole new wardrobe for $10.
Yeah. I mean, I literally would ship. I wouldn't even, because I wouldn't even dare think about putting it on the team plane. I just shipped it all home. I mean, $500 is like a couple grand.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
Wait, so you didn't trust it to get the team employees to get it back to
Houston?
I just
didn't want to take up space on the plane
or
ruin my privilege of being able to go back.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, good call.
Yeah, see, Portland's downtown area is full of tents and homeless people, Joel. I just came back there.
Newsflash, you've been there,
and you've been to your spots. I've been to mine. And I used to live there.
And newsflash, every major city has a homeless population. What are we talking about?
L.A.
There's lots of parts through Houston you could go through and see lots of homeless
people. Charles will say, see San Francisco. Others will say, see L.A. Okay? We have a ton of homeless people here, too. Every city has it. I hate to break it to you, breaking news. I understand Portland has a lot of it. And screw you on my ketchup takes. If you don't worry about what I put ketchup on.
Is that? It seems like that might be what you're most defensive about is people coming after your ketchup takes. Is that fair?
I don't care because I like ketchup. My kids like ketchup too, which I'm proud of. But it doesn't bother me.
How does Lisa feel about your ketchup usage?
She understands it. She eats ketchup with a lot of stuff too. So the thing to me is, just because I like ketchup, people assume, well, you put it on steak. No, I don't. I don't at all. Do I put it on barbecue? No, I don't. Not at all. Jeremy sent me something today on Twitter. Do you put it on any eggs? The only reason I've ever put it on eggs is if the eggs taste like crap and it's all you got. When we're on, like, in the PR press room at a certain
city. You're trying to hide the taste because they're not good eggs.
Yes, and you have to eat something before you do a game. And so you do it like that. But it's not my go-to with eggs either. But everybody just likes to take it to, like, 18 levels up. And ratcheted it up, and it's like, if you don't know me, then you don't know. See that Twitch? That's where you should know.
Well, all right. Well, I'll do you a solid here. As a show of solidarity, I will admit to you, I don't do this anymore, but I did this as a kid growing up and as a teenager, maybe into my very early 20s. I'm unfortunately a few years past my early 20s now, but I did for quite a few years put ketchup on mac and cheese.
Hey, don't call me out.
It's a show of solidarity. I'm admitting to you.
Oh, you're immune from being called out. Like, I'm vulnerable to this every day.
I didn't have to admit that to you.
You put ketchup on mac and cheese?
I said used to. I haven't done it in 15 years. But there was a time in my teens and very early part of my 20s that, yes, I would put ketchup on mac and cheese. I'm admitting that to you so you don't feel alone in being attacked for your ketchup takes.
Man.
As a show of solidarity, a brotherhood, a tag team here.
Now, the argument that we used to have a lot is that I will put ketchup on a grilled cheese from time to time.
That I haven't done.
And everybody says that's just taboo, you shouldn't do that. And I go, but you dip it in tomato soup, but putting ketchup on a grilled cheese is wrong? So the difference in temperature makes it a no-no? Come on, try and make sense of that.
Okay, here's where we might have the biggest problem. Hot dog. Does the ketchup belong on a hot dog?
That was one of the things Jeremy sent on the one he sent me too. Absolutely, it belongs on a hot dog.
Okay, now we're separated again.
Why? I
can't go with that. No, I don't like ketchup on a hot dog. It's got to be mustard for me. I like the tang and the mustard on it.
But just mustard is blah. No, I can do ketchup and mustard. I can do ketchup and chopped onions. I can do a lot of different things.
Right.
But why am I punished if I like ketchup on a hot dog?
I'm not saying you're punished. I'm just saying it's the wrong choice.
Idiots will.
It's just the wrong. You made the wrong choice. I'm not punishing you for it.
That's not necessarily true. It's like Jeremy saying I lose my food card because I don't agree with his taste. Well, that's why they're my taste.
Well, Jeremy does have a very high opinion of his opinions.
No kidding. Look what he did to Sun Chips.
He annihilated Sun Chips because of an opinion. He got so mad about people's opinions on Sun Chips, he made up a list of 50 chips he liked more on the drive home that day.
Also said, do I like regular ketchup or spicy ketchup more? I like Heinz ketchup more than anything.
More than the Whataburger ketchup?
Yes. I can eat the spicy ketchup. I prefer, and like I always say this, the Coke Pepsi Challenge, I can tell you Heinz ketchup versus just about any ketchup on the planet.
Interesting. I way back in the day, this was at a Vans Warped Tour that was here like 2002. They had the Pepsi Coke Challenge, and I took part of it and aced it every time. I picked Coke every time. So you think you could do that with ketchup?
I do.
Really? Yeah. See, if I had my first choice of ketchup, it'd be the spicy ketchup from
Cook says he likes ketchup on a dog every now and then. See?
AJ agrees with me. Yeah, it's spicy ketchup.
Who asked AJ anything? He likes what?
He said he agreed with my take that the best ketchup is the spicy ketchup from Whataburger.
You're trying to go places in this business, and you're hitching your wagon to that guy?
AJ, I lost respect for you today. Admittedly, that's probably a poor choice from AJ, but I do agree. I do appreciate
Poncho says
support.
Mustard is greater than ketchup on a dog.
Yes, that's the
no,
point.
No, it is not.
I'm not saying ketchup is disgusting on a hot dog. Don't hear what I'm not saying, but mustard is the correct choice.
You load up a hot dog.
Well, you can still load it up
if it's grilled the right way. and it's prepared the right way, you don't need much. You can put barbecue sauce on a hot dog. You can put ketchup on a hot dog. You can put chopped onions on a hot dog. I'm not a relish guy. Joe is.
Oh, I like relish. Yeah, I like relish on a hot dog.
I'm not a relish guy, but there's a lot you can put on a hot dog.
Yeah.
Chili.
Yeah. Yeah.
No?
No, I'm not really.
Cheese?
Yeah, well, of course, I'm with you there. Look at my physique.
Yeah, well, and look at my background.
Yeah, for,
I mean, your
Wisconsin is showing, for sure.
And of course, my guy, B. Hannon, he comes to my defense, and he's a big San Diego guy, but he said San Diego's bad with homeless now, too. Every major city
primarily
has warm cities where people won't freeze to death if they don't have a place to go.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like,
if
you're
going to
be homeless, you'd rather be homeless here than in Detroit.
True.
Yeah, I mean, look, we obviously have our
own. I mean, but Detroit's the only city they can claim, major city they can claim going bankrupt. Declaring bankruptcy, you don't want to live there.
No, yeah, there was the funny video make of. No, that was actually Cleveland where you could buy the house for the cost of a VCR, but certainly they have their own separate issues.
Yeah, I mean, there's. Detroit, one of my best friends is from Detroit.
So you said Detroit
was... There
is
no argument defending that city for even him.
So Detroit was low in your list of cities to go to in the NBA. Where was Cleveland? Was Cleveland...
Cleveland actually much better than... Everybody called it the mistake on the lake.
Yeah.
But then they put up a new mall right near all the new stadiums. So you were... When we called it Gund Arena, now whatever the sponsorship changed to. The basketball arena and the baseball stadium were... separated or right in the same area was a great indoor
mall. Are they downtown?
Yeah, downtown-ish. The football stadium was a little ways away on the lake, but they upgraded their whole downtown. And I wasn't down on Cleveland at all. And we used to go in the middle of winter. And in Detroit, even with them, they tried to make all these skywalks so that you would explore.
So you wouldn't have to go outside.
Yeah, so you could explore just how quickly that you could get robbed. Detroit's an
arm
pit.
Wait, in the skywalk?
Everywhere. Detroit is terrible.
Man, that's rough.
I'm just not a fan. Plus...
While you're in Cleveland, have you ever tried the Skyline Chili? It seems like one of the most...
No, because I've never been to Cincinnati. Jeremy and I were talking about this the other day.
You're right, I'm sorry. That's
Jeremy and I
thing.
Were comparing
cities
right. he went to frequently for college that I wouldn't go to for the NBA. Two of the major cities that I have not been to yet, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Right, because they don't have NBA
Because they don't
teams.
Have NBA teams.
Yeah, yeah. The Skyline Chili that Cincinnati has always...
I heard it's very overrated.
Yeah, that's one word for it. I've heard it's disgusting. It looks disgusting. You see the pictures of it with the spaghetti noodles and the chili.
I was
going to
say, don't they put it over pasta?
Yeah, it's just... Oh, God, it looks awful. Yeah. I don't get how that is a dish that I would claim city pride over. I'll put it that way.
And they do, right?
Yeah, they seem to. Yeah, they seem to. Yeah, there was a – I'm forgetting the name. The Texans had a pass rusher. This is mid-2000s that they drafted
Connor
out of
Barwin.
It was Connor Barwin.
Two-sport athlete, played basketball.
Yeah, you're right.
Two.
Yeah, he went to Cincinnati. Anyway, we had him on a show I was working on, and he raved about the Skyline
Barwin.
Chili. And it's just like, I don't see how that could become like the local bragging point as far as a dish that you're known for.
He used to come hoop with us downtown.
Was he pretty good?
Connor Barwin? Yeah, he played at Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah, he played two sports.
Oh,
there.
So did he play under Huggy?
Yeah, he played under Huggy Bear.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep, absolutely. All right, you know, we got one segment to go on the show. You know what that means, car wreck of the day. Got some nominations. An interesting one that BMAC found that someone texted to involving our least favorite team in the National League. And lots more to get to as we wrap up the show. But if you have nominations, 713-780-3776. Text that number. Call that number. Jeremy just said something about a nomination being someone that has multiple accounts on social media and doesn't claim any kind of ownership in either one of them. I don't know. We'll talk about the car wreck next. Before we do that, let me talk about my bookie. We know it's tournament time, everybody. We know there's only one stop to shop when you are looking to put some money down on some of these games with March Madness. It's mybookie.ag. They got it going all the time. They got in-game betting. They've got all the different ways you can watch all the different games and put all the different money down. The bottom line is, do it with mybookie.ag because they've been in business for over 10 years. They know how to take care of you, take care of your money, and treat you the right way. Right now, they got another big bonus going on if you sign up for the first time. A welcome bonus. If you put $200 in, you can get $300 ready to play instantly using the promo code BET975. Wherever you see an opportunity to put a code, put in BET975 for listening to us, and it'll pay dividends for you. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances to win, and live dealers are standing by when there aren't games going on. So you can do poker, you can do blackjack, you can do all kinds of casino games thanks to mybookie.ag and those live dealers. And by the way, you get a friend to sign up, you get a bonus for that too by using Bet975. You can do everything you can you want to do and more, and you can actually watch the games on their website. You'll get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions to help you decide who to put your money on when you're watching all these games. Go to mybookie.ag right now. Do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, all with the in the comfort of your own home or with your own phone by going to mybookie.ag and use our promo code Bet975.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me all f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Yeah, you heard the man. Car wreck of the day. Every day is fun day for you and Jeremy with car wreck of the day.
What do you mean by that?
I hate Friday on car wreck of the day. But we've got a lot of suggestions rolling in and comments on our last segment. One, AJ is up for a nomination for our car wreck of the day.
Oh, that's not nice.
Because AJ sided with
AJ's B-Mac. Out here doing hard work with the for the promo
oh,
team.
Oh, hard
and
work.
And your clue is his excellent food taste. That is definitely not a car wreck today. AJ,
I have deeply offended someone from the city of brotherly love because of my Philly take. I have gotten multiple texts from the same area code from Pennsylvania. So all upset. Oh, you mentioned Connor Barwin. Guess where he went to play after the Texans Philly and he stayed there. Blanker's takes are terrible because he said, relax. Go get yourself a pretzel and a cheesesteak and shut the... Never mind. Just...
Yeah, well,
nice
you know,
day.
D'Amico Ryans went to Philly, and now he's back.
Yeah, because he couldn't. He wasn't going to stay there when his career and all that money was coming.
He'd rather go deal with the homeless
the
people
out.
In San Francisco.
Yeah, go polish your Rocky statue. How about that? Have a good day, sir. Dome dogs needed ketchup. Chili dogs need mustard. Where are you on that, old food connoisseur?
Well,
AJ,
I don't,
you shut up.
I don't I don't like chili on my hot dog, so I'm it doesn't really change my opinion. It's mustard for me.
Okay, someone is also giving me tips that I will at least honor that said Oregon, the countryside, and all the options are beautiful, but the Portland I experienced is gone. Hipster and druggies everywhere, and then a comment about women that I'll just leave for another day. Wife is from Ohio. Skyline chili is disgusting. Sweet cinnamon bean sauce.
Oh, God, that sounds even worse than it looks. Sweet cinnamon bean sauce? Is
yeah,
that what he said?
Oso says Skyline Jeez. Chili sweet like ketchup.
Oh.
Now, don't tarnish ketchup's good name, but Skyline
yeah,
Chili.
Don't drag ketchup down with the,
yeah, that's what I mean.
With the monstrosity that is Skyline Chili. That's not ketchup's fault.
Someone said it has chocolate in it.
That sounds like mole. That is
a lot of people put chocolate in chili.
Well, yeah, that's yeah, like mole. Like in Texas, well, not probably not Texas, but more Mexican dishes. But yeah, mole goes into sauces in Mexican cooking, but I haven't heard that it's in Skyline Chili. I could be wrong. I've avoided that because it looks disgusting, so... I could be a novice.
Car wreck of the day is the guy that got his undies hurt from Philly.
Yeah.
That's my, one of my nominations.
Can we nominate Cronenworth's glove from this morning if you haven't seen
yeah,
the video?
Yeah, Cronenworth's glove.
Good
and he getting an error for a ball that he fielded cleanly and his glove let him down?
Yeah, it hit it. If you haven't seen the video, I was watching this live. It looked at first like he just missed the ball, but when they showed the replay, he put his glove perfectly. The ball hit him right in the webbing of his glove. But literally, the ball just exploded through the back of the glove, just completely blew out the webbing, and went into right field for a base hit that I believe drove in a run and extended the inning, where I think the Dodgers ended up scoring four in the inning. So it was just a complete car wreck, if you will, for the Padres there today.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Car wreck of the day is the Virginia basketball team, led by Tony Bennett.
100%.
That entire endeavor last night.
In the committee for putting them in. They didn't deserve to be in.
Just an absolute embarrassment. They set basketball back 40 years. I think Bennett won a national championship there. He's done a great job. But if he ain't on the hot seat and or looking at real estate options, he better start thinking about it because that was awful.
Hey, we got to mention this one. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter.
This is interesting.
Apparently, there's lots of reports, and obviously details are still coming out fast and furious, so we don't have all the details yet. But it looks like there's a league investigation into a bookmaking operation out of Orange County that apparently Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, who apparently is admitted to being a gambling addict, has lost $4.5 million in gambling and has asked Shohei Ohtani to pay for it, so they're looking into a wire transfer from Ohtani's bank account to send money to this bookmaker in Orange County. So there's a lot going on there. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, man, you work for Shohei Ohtani in this day and age. You can certainly coast the rest of your life.
I was going to say, you've got it made for the rest of your life.
All you have to do is hang out with Shohei and help speak to the
just
media
play
for
your
him.
Cards right, and you become
and
a
you throw it
an
away
addict.
On gambling. Good
gambling.
Lord.
What an idiot.
I mean, that's the car wreck of the day, right? Is that the winner? Shohei Ohtani's interpreter?
I mean, Virginia's going to give him a run. They won't run they on lose, the court, but they can give him a run for their money.
They didn't lose $4.5 million of Shohei's
blow
money,
a great
though.
Gig, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess congratulations, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter.
Yeah, my vote is for Shohei's interpreter.
Yeah, you take the cake, and I hope you don't lose a limb if Shohei's check gets in trouble.
$4.5 million, people have lost limbs for less.
But I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, Shohei's trying to cover up the fact that someone could do some damage on you if
you
don't pay.
It'd be interesting to see if any of this blows back on Shohei, since he made the payment from his account to the bookmaker.
Yeah, right?
I know there's a plausible defense for it, but you still sent money to a bookmaker.
It's not a good look.
Not a good look.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for joining me today on the show with Jeremy Out. Jeremy's back tomorrow. We are going to be live from Carbach Brewing. You should come by and see us. Check out all the March Madness at Carbach. Hang out with us. Have some food and drink and hang out with the bees. We're going to be there at least in the afternoon, right? I think Joe and Paul are going to be there too.
Tomorrow? Yeah, it'll be the Killer G's will be there as well.
The G's and the B's tomorrow from Carbach Brewing. Until then, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.